have a seat. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke and begins at verse 11. I want to give you a little bit of background here first. As we get ready to read this, I want you to think about the context of today. The story of the 10 lepers. Because today we honor motherhood. And I wonder how often it is that Jesus might have felt the way that our earthly mothers often feel when we take them for granted. In today's lesson, Jesus heals 10 lepers, but only one comes back with gratitude and praise. How often we take for granted what mothers do. How often we take for granted what Jesus does. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I want to stop right there for just a minute because you get some clues as to what's going on and how these people are following the law. So you get some clue as to who most of them are. Now we find out later in the story that one's a Samaritan. Jesus, in some of your translations, calls him a foreigner. But, you know, it's interesting that in their misery, they don't seem to find a whole lot of distinction between Jew and Samaritan. But they have to stand outside the village because in Leviticus 13:46 it gives the instructions about how lepers are to approach being around others. And if they're coming near a city, they have to actually cry out in a loud voice as they're coming up near the city. They have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that way everybody knows that they're unclean according to the law. Now, there's another thing that they have to do, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but the rules for how to get clean, just so you know, happened in Leviticus 14, and it takes 32 verses to explain how a leper is to be made clean. And it takes over a week for it to happen. So even when these go to the priest, as you'll hear in the story, even as these are sent to the priest, when the priest sees them and says, "Yes, you're healed," they still have to go through this cleansing process that has the sacrifice of animals and worship and all kinds of things, the washing with water, and it takes a whole bunch of time before they can actually then go into town because they actually have to call the priest to meet them outside of town. They aren't even allowed to go in to the temple. So, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." May God bless this reading of his holy word. Now, if we place this story on the timeline of history, one of the things that we discover is that it takes place while Jesus is heading to Jerusalem as he's preparing for the triumphal entry. Okay, so this happens very close to the time that he enters Jerusalem and then enters into Holy Week. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. And many have witnessed and heard of this miracle. Now, there's another thing that happened after this miracle, though, and that is that the priests have convened a council to determine what to do about Jesus. And this is the time when Caiaphas says, "Better that one man die for the people than for the nation to perish." And so they've already put in, they're beginning to put in place the plans to kill Jesus. You know, it makes you wonder if Jesus, knowing all things, did this healing as much for the benefit of the priests as for the men. It's almost as if Jesus is telling the priests, "You might get to proclaim them clean, but now you know who it is that makes them clean." So this morning, this isn't a long story, and there's a lot of different things we could talk about, but this morning I really wish to share with you two things that we can apply to our lives every day from this story. The first one is about obedience. We don't always know what God is going to do in our lives, but we can follow what He asks us to do. The lepers, all 10, go as Jesus commands. They don't know that they are going to be healed. You know, we have no evidence to say that Jesus says, "Okay, if you go to the priests, you'll be healed." He just says, "Go to the priests." And they go. They've been given no promise that if they obey, no proof that they will be made clean, but they go. And it's after they obey that they are healed. See, they have to step into what Jesus asks them to do. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, writes, "Our Lord never insists on obedience. He stresses very definitely what we ought to do, but He never forces us to do it. We have to obey Him out of oneness of spirit with Him. If my relationship to Him is that of love, I will do what He says without hesitation. If I hesitate, it is because I love someone I have placed in competition with Him, namely myself. Jesus Christ will not force me to obey Him, but I must. And as soon as I obey Him, I fulfill my spiritual destiny." So the first thing we learn from this is to be obedient. But not a obedience the way a soldier obeys a colonel or a general. But obedience, not obedience out of fear, not obedience out of obligation, but obedience out of devotion. The second thing that we learn that we need to really focus on is that gratitude, true gratitude, results in praise. True gratitude results in praise to the glory and honor of Christ. Were all the lepers grateful? I bet they were. I bet they were. But I bet the Jewish lepers were very interested in getting the blessing of the priest, stating that they were clean, so they could go back to their homes and to their families. They were in a hurry to get that over week-long process started and finished so they could get back to a normal life. And can you blame them for wanting to get back to normal? But gratitude alone is not enough. You see, we're all grateful when we're blessed by God. But too often we lack gratitude that results in praise and honor and glory for God. We're happy to get the blessings. We're not always so good at turning our attention to the giver of the blessings. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." And remember what I read to you as we began this morning. The 116th Psalm. "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Oh, Lord, surely I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds." Does that kind of sound like the one that came back? "You have loosed my bonds. To You I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation." The leper who returns falls to the feet of Jesus in gratitude and praise, giving honor and glory to the one who has healed him. The Greek word that's translated here, it says, has made him, you have been made well, or to have been made well, is the Greek word is sozo. And it means, it doesn't really mean healed. Healed is kind of a side translation of that word. The deeper meaning of that word is to deliver, to save, to rescue. So the healing that this man is receiving is deeper than the physical healing of the flesh. It is a deep spiritual healing. The man has been made whole in Christ. So when we respond not just with gratitude, but with praise, it does three things. It glorifies Christ. Instead of us just resting in the blessing, it glorifies Christ, it pleases God, and it opens our hearts to greater blessing. It's also important to know that the lack of gratitude and praise is the sure path to futility and darkness. Paul writes in Romans 1, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man." The question becomes, are we grateful for the blessings that Christ offers us? Or are we more grateful for Jesus Himself? So often we think only of the blessings. Today we think about our moms and we think about all that they do for us. Are we grateful just for those things? Or are we grateful for who they are? The blessing that they are. Just to be in our life. C. See, one of the great illustrations that this story makes is that not all who are healed by Jesus are made whole. Not all who are blessed by Jesus are brought into a relationship with Jesus. I don't say this to glorify us as believers in any way, but to remind us that an encounter with Jesus requires a response. You see, it's not about us. It's not really even about the blessings. It's about Jesus. What do we do when the Son of God pours out His healing power? What do we do with that healing, with that blessing? Do we just live into the joy of that moment, of that healing, of that blessing? Or does it become within us a spirit of gratitude and praise and worship that brings glory to the Son of God? You see, nine on this day were declared clean by the priests after more than a week of cleansing ceremonies. One was declared whole in a moment by the Son of God. Do you desire only what Jesus offers? Or do you desire Him? So many of us are blessed in so many ways. What does God desire as we live into those blessings? Maybe you've been seeking healing, and healing comes or blessing comes, and then it just seems to go away. Not because the blessing disappeared, but it doesn't carry the same weight in your heart anymore. Turn to Jesus today. Let Him fill what those blessings, what you've been hoping those blessings would fill. And let Him pour Himself into you to fill whatever it is that you need, because He desires to bring it to you today, this morning. If you wish to talk to the Lord about that today, you can do it sitting right here in the pew. You can do it while we sing our closing hymn. One of the things about our closing hymn today, and I don't remember the author of it, I've got it written down here someplace, but the important part is that he was going through a hard time when he wrote this hymn. And he still found it within him, because of his love for Jesus, to write the words of this hymn. So many of our hymns come from that kind of spirit. So many of our songs come as people are in a hard place. It is well with my soul sings to the glory of God. And the man who wrote it while sitting in the middle of the ocean, looking at the place that just weeks before his children had died as a boat sank. But because he was connected to the Lord of all creation, he could sing, "It is well with my soul." If you want to pray with somebody after the service today, there will be deacons in our library that would love to pray with you today. What a glory it is to know Jesus. What a glory it is to be blessed by Him, but what a greater glory to know Him. To live into those blessings with praise that rises to the glory of God the Father of Jesus Christ, his Son, and to the Holy Spirit, who brings those blessings to us every day. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us it would be so easy to look at these words and say they're ancient, they're old, and they have nothing to teach us in this day, but they are your word. It is the way that your voice speaks to our heart, and we are grateful this day that you have spoken to us as your people to draw us close to you. For we know that as we read it, your word brings light into our darkness. It brings life into our spirit. And we praise you. So, Father, hear the words of your people. Sing praise to you in these closing moments of our worship today. As we lift our voices to you, Lord, we praise you and pray that you are blessed. And we thank you that you desire to be close to us. For we know that in the depth of our spirit, that is our number one goal, is to be close to you. It's the only thing that will satisfy. So we thank you for being here with us. And we praise your name. Amen.